ABC Radio Australia.
Well, Vanuatu's Prime Minister Xalo Sawai arrives in Australia this weekend, making him the second Pacific leader to make the trip down under in just a matter of weeks. It comes, of course, amidst the climate here in Australia, where the government and media are continuing to talk about China's growing influence in the Pacific region, and with some close observers and Australia's opposition have contributed to Australia and quoting dropping the ball on the Pacific, as we've heard there. So the way in which the Australian government engages with the Vanuatu leader over the next week while he's here will come under heavy scrutiny. In fact, one academic describes Vanuatu as the test case for Australia and whether it can build a new style of relationship that it has with Pacific nations. That academic is lawyer Dr. Siobhan McDonald from the Australian National University's Centre for Asia and the Pacific.
I think this visit is incredibly significant. It's the first official visit by the Vanuatu Prime Minister for a number of years, and I think there's a real opportunity for Australia to show a different diplomatic model during this visit. So what we've seen to date really is a lot of pronouncements coming from Australia in almost like a style of I think what's called megaphone diplomacy. So reaching over the Pacific and speaking directly to China. And I think this is an opportunity for Australia to really reposition itself in terms of listening to the agenda of Pacific leaders.
And on the agenda, what's likely to be on it, and will it be led by Australia, or do you think Vanuatu's Prime Minister will be able to do that, or will it be more even?
You know, I'm sure that the Vanuatu government has a series of asks that they will come to Australia with. I think there's a real opportunity for engaging in a different style of diplomacy. I think one of the top priorities for Vanuatu is about gaining better access for seasonal agricultural labour into Australia. So the Australian government really lags behind New Zealand in this front. In April, Turnbull announced a new special visa category. So it will be interesting to see. I would anticipate that there will be, I would suggest special visa access for Vanuatu would be a priority area for the Vanuatu government. But I think Australia needs to develop a more nuanced approach to other issues that are of priority to the region. So we know that climate change is a top priority. We know that oceans governance is a top priority. And then there are a number of really specific asks from countries. So Vanuatu, for example, is very interested in accessing markets for one of its major agricultural crops, which is kava. So they've been in negotiations for many years with the European Union to gain access to the European market. And I wouldn't be surprised if they also raise that with Australia.
We've also, I've spoken with the Infrastructure Minister, Jotham Nupat, about concerns about Australia's funding of the Solomon Islands PNG undersea internet cable, because, of course, the Vanuatu government is a shareholder in a company that's also building another separate cable. I've been informed that the Prime Minister will certainly be raising this with the Australian government. Is it something that you think Australia will actually discuss and be open to some of those conversations?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I hope that they take these concerns on board. I mean, I know that this is an issue that has had a lot of media attention in Vanuatu in the last couple of weeks in terms of the funding arrangements attached to these cables. I mean, I think the discussion about infrastructure is a bigger and more complex one. I think the Australian government should be much more on the front foot in terms of responding to kind of more essential infrastructure projects across the region. I mean, this is really at the heart of why Pacific Island countries are choosing to broker these arrangements with China, is because of this much needed infrastructure. But I also think that the issue around foreign engagement and sovereignty is an important one, but not, it doesn't at all take the form of what Australia and China are projecting. It's a much more complex and story around foreign investment.
And on that, obviously the conversations will at some point come to China and the deals and the loans that it's offering countries like Vanuatu. In your piece that you're writing for the ABC, you quote the Foreign Minister, Ralph Regenvanu, with whom you have a long-standing relationship. What sense are you getting of the message that he and his Prime Minister want to deliver about Vanuatu's relationship and the way that it secures these loans from China when he meets with his counterpart here in Australia?
Yeah, just to clarify, I was the legal advisor to Ralph Regenvanu as the Minister of Lands over a four-year period. So that's kind of the context of our professional relationship. But look, I think the issue is that Pacific leaders are not interested in Australia telling them who they can and can't partner with in terms of their own diplomatic relationships. I mean, on the one hand, Australia is putting forward a message that we're concerned about the sovereignty of these countries. And on the other hand, we're engaging in this kind of megaphone diplomacy, which is literally kind of suggesting that various Pacific leaders should not be partnering with China. And I think there's a contradiction there. In terms of Ralph Regan-Vanu's position, I mean, I think he's very clear in coming out along with the Prime Minister and saying that Vanuatu is non-aligned. They're not, they have no plans to put forward any kind of military base in the near future. And then I guess the secondary issue is that he is very clear in saying that Vanuatu is not engaging in debt trap diplomacy, that if you look at the actual contract that the Vanuatu government has signed on to, it is not of that kind of nature. So I think Australia really needs to respond by changing some of its rhetoric in this space. We know that this is an important region for Australia, but those relationships are long and deep, and they could be fostered in a much more neighbourly way that doesn't sound so much like megaphone diplomacy.
You write that Vanuatu is a test case for Australia's capacity to build a new style of relationship with Pacific nations. When the Prime Minister of Vanuatu, Shalo Salwe, wraps up his trip to Australia, what in your mind would that look like in terms of being a successful test case?
I think it's really incumbent on Australia and to the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister to listen carefully to the concerns of the Vanuatu government. Many of them don't actually involve large amounts of additional funding being put on the table, although, you know, obviously infrastructure would. But mostly they're about a different style of relationship. So signalling that Australia is properly listening to Vanuatu would be, you know, would look like better access for seasonal agriculture labour. It would look like better commitments around climate change, difficult political issue. It would look like greater commitments in the space of ocean governance, for example. It would look like more support for the Vanuatu government's broader sustainable development agenda. So I think, you know, I think there are a kind of key planks of what will be put on the table, and the success or otherwise of this visit that will happen will depend very much on what the announcements are that come out as a result of the trip.